Our second lesson will serve as our sermon text this morning from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we go on living in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by this baptism into death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him to make our sinful body powerless so that we would not continue to serve sin. For the person who has died has been declared free from sin. And since we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that since Christ has been raised from the dead, he will never die again. Death no longer has control over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, also consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's an age-old question. If God's going to forgive us anyways, should we just keep sinning? I love sinning. God loves forgiving. This will work out just fine. The Apostle Paul's answer today, he holds up a death certificate. A few years ago, a man named Robert Berger was convicted of trying to steal two cars, and so he was sentenced to 1 year in prison. And he didn't want to serve that time, so he came up with the perfect plan. He faked his own death. He made up a fake death certificate. He gave it to his fiance, who gave it to his lawyer. It was the perfect plan. If he was dead, they couldn't make him go to jail. There was only one problem. There was a typo on the death certificate. It was supposed to be from the New Jersey Office of Vital Statistics and Registry, and it said it was from the New Jersey Office of Vital Statistics and Registry. Couldn't even die correctly. And even if that death certificate had been believed, because he was still alive, he kept doing the kinds of things that wound him up in trouble in the first place. He fled to Pennsylvania, but he was arrested there for similar crimes. So he had to make his way back to New Jersey, and now he had to serve not one, but 4 years in prison, added time because of fraud. By nature, we're all kind of like Robert Berger, in that from the moment we're conceived, we're already facing a penalty, a punishment. We're born sinful, and so we deserve not just 1 year in prison, but the death penalty. The wages of sin is death. And like Robert Berger, unless something happens, we'd spend our lives just making it worse. On the run from the law, but committing the same kind of crimes that got us in the trouble in the first place. But there's an important difference between us and Robert Berger. We actually died. That's what Paul says today. In Romans chapter 6, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. We died. We died to sin. How can we go on living in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" So to the question, if God's going to forgive me anyways, can I just keep sinning? Paul says, have you ever seen a corpse keep doing anything? He shows us that baptism is like a death certificate. He says, we died to sin when we were baptized into Christ Jesus. We were baptized into his death. When we have a baptism here, we'll have one in late service. We give a nice baptism certificate. As a reminder of what happened, you can put it somewhere special, put it up on the wall, and they're very pretty. They're mostly white and a little bit of blue, and there's a Bible passage. But the certificate Jesus gives us for baptism in our text today isn't pretty. It's covered in blood. It says, manner of death, crucifixion, cause of death, sin. It's describing Jesus' death, but our name is on it. And this is a good thing. Paul explains why. He says, we know that our old self was crucified with him to make our sinful body powerless so that we would not continue to serve sin. For the person who has died has been declared free from sin. Should we just keep sinning? That's an old self question. That's a sinful nature question. What does Paul say? If we've died with Jesus, then the old self doesn't have power anymore. It's been crucified with Jesus. Now, what gives the old self its power? That sinful nature inside of us. Well, before we know God's grace, our old self is kind of like somebody taking a required class. They don't want to take it, but they have to take it to graduate. They don't even like the professor. So God says something like, do this, or the conscience God gave you says, you shouldn't do that. And how do you react? Ugh, so much homework. I don't even want to do it. But then the professor gives you a bad grade, and you think, ugh, fine, I'll do the homework because I have to pass. And then you work hard just because you have to, and then you get the grade back and it's like a B minus instead of an A. And now you get even more angry. Hey, I worked hard at that. Finally, at the end of the class, you realize that you failed, and so you give up entirely. You know what? Fine, I'm not even going to try to do anything anymore. And then you feel bad because you failed. This is what it's like before you know God's grace. God's demands are like a stick poking you, making you more and more angry. God says something like, love your wife, love your husband, and it pokes you. And your old self, your sinful self wants to say, ugh, is it a requirement? Do I have to, that person? And it pokes you again. Yes, you have to, or you're going to be in trouble. And so you try. And you do it because you have to, grumbling. And then God gives you a grade, and that pokes you even more. Hey, your heart wasn't in it. You didn't do a good enough job. You failed. Ugh. And then you give up. Well, if I'm going to fail anyways, then why do I even try? And you sit there feeling more and more guilty because you still know you're supposed to do it and that a punishment is coming. But then death. And all of that is put to an end. Have you ever tried to poke a corpse? I hope not. But I'm guessing if you did, it wouldn't react. After we die with Jesus, we're no longer under the law. That means it can't be used like a stick by our sinful nature to poke us, to make us more and more grumpy, more and more bitter, more and more angry at God. Because we're dead to that. Which means you live in a different way. We sing it in a Lent hymn. We talk about Jesus dying on the cross and we sing, we were there on Calvary. We were pardoned, saved, set free. And this means that there's nothing to poke us with. God says, love your spouse, or else you're going to be punished. And we say, or else what? I'm already punished in Jesus. The death penalty is gone. You can't poke me with that. The sinful nature says, oh yeah, well it's a requirement, so you got to do it. And we say, a requirement? I'm dead to those requirements. Nothing is required of me. Jesus did it all. But that changes it from a required course, a class you have to take, to an elective. Something you want to take, something you want to do. How much can I learn? And so God says, do this. And you say, can I please? I would love to, because I want to show my trust in the God who has saved me and set me free from sin. It's kind of like a funny neighbor I used to have. If you went around Carthage, Missouri for a walk, you'd probably run into this guy walking around. And if you ran into him, he would ask if you wanted him to mark you with a red marker. Because every day he would take a red marker and give himself the wounds of Jesus on his palms. A red mark here and a red mark here. Why? He said, every time I'm tempted to be mad at God, every time I'm tempted to grumble at him, every time I'm tempted to sin, and every time I'm tempted to think that God's going to punish me, I look at these marks and I say, I died to that. That has no power over me anymore. It's kind of like if you were biking as a kid and you decided to pull off a really cool trick, but what actually happened is you crashed and got a giant scar. Every time you are tempted to do that again in the future, you look at your scar and say, no, 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 no. Once was enough. The old self is still with you. Come on, grumble at God. Oh, how could he ask that of you? Oh, he's just going to punish you anyways. And you say, no, 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 no. I'm dead to that. You can be like a kid when you're trying to get a kid to go somewhere they don't want to go. What do? They just go completely limp. You can't drag me away anymore, sin. I am dead to that. But you don't stay dead. In baptism, your death certificate, you're also given new life. So Paul says, he writes in verse 4, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. Just like Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. Remember what that was like? Before Jesus died, he suffered. Right after his baptism, he goes to be tempted by the devil, 40 days of fasting. This is difficult. And after the devil leaves, angels have to come and pick him off the ground. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is praying so hard, he's sweating drops of blood. He's whipped, he's beaten, he suffers hell. After he rises from the dead, no more. He's walking through walls, he's appearing to everybody, peace be with you, peace be with you. He's ascending into heaven, he's in charge of everything. This is great, this is a new life. No more dealing with sin. That's gone. And we get to share in that new life. But you're thinking, well, we're not perfect yet. Jesus was. And that's true. The old nature dies hard. It's dying a slow, painful death. But think about what Jesus once said to Peter. The spirit is willing and the body is weak. Often we're lamenting this part, the body is weak. That'll be true until we finally die. But think about this, the spirit is willing. You have a new spirit, alive through Jesus' resurrection. Maybe think about it like life would have been for Lazarus after Jesus brought him back from the dead. Do you think life was the same for Lazarus after Jesus called him out of the grave and he walked out alive? Do you think he viewed death the same? He probably still got sick. He was getting older. He still was going to die again. But every time he was tempted to be afraid, what could he say? I've already been through that. No. I remember last time I died. Even though I was dead, I still heard Jesus' voice. He was my master, not sin, not death. He brought me back from the dead. What do I have to be afraid of? He could always remind himself that Jesus was his master and that he had new life. This is our new life because of baptism. Paul says, if we have been united with Jesus in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. United with Jesus in the likeness of his death and resurrection. What does this mean? It means baptism. When you're baptized, it's kind of like you put up a trellis in your heart. You know, the kind of thing you put up so that a vine grows in the right way. And it's Jesus-shaped. It's cross-shaped. So that as you grow through life, you grow like Jesus in his shape. Like he suffered for sins once for all. Yes, we still suffer a little bit. Resisting our old self, resisting our sinful, selfish desires. And that hurts. It's like death, dying to ourselves so we can live for Jesus. It's a cross-shaped life. But the cross for us isn't just a sign of death, is it? It's a sign of life. And so every time we go through a cross, that is, we have to deny our sinful self, get out the hammer and nails, and nail it back to the cross. We see that those wounds are healed through Jesus' forgiveness. Every time we struggle with sin, we go back to Jesus, forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And Jesus does, and we're raised to new life. This is how baptism is a daily death and resurrection. Every day a reminder that our lives are shaped like Jesus's, which means our lives are shaped like life. That's who we are. The story is told based on a true story of two Civil War soldiers who wound up in the same jail cell. And they looked almost identical. You couldn't tell them apart. And they spent so much time in this cell together that they learned everything about each other. After 4 years, they got out of jail. But one of them died. There were two men, Jack and Horace. Horace, a runaway con man. Jack, a man who had a wife and child and a farm. And after they got out of prison, Jack died. But Horace didn't want it to be that way. Horace liked Jack's life. And so when Jack died, Horace buried Horace. And he took on Jack's identity. He took on his life and buried his old life. He went back to the farm as Jack, and his wife, who had just about given up on him ever returning, found him 6 years later and fell in love with him all over again. And every time Jack was reminded that he was a little different than when he left, he insisted even more, No, I'm Jack. I really am Jack. His wife would say, you didn't used to read books like that. You're a lot nicer than when you left. I'm Jack, even though she figured it out. When he went to the shoe cobbler and he said, your feet are two sizes smaller than they were 6 years ago, he insisted, I'm Jack. when the law caught up with him and they were going to punish Jack for something he had done earlier, they said, all you have to do is admit that you're Horace and we'll let you go. And he said, no, Horace is dead. I'm Jack. Who are you? The way you answer that question is the way you'll answer the question, should I keep sinning just because Jesus will forgive me anyways? Who are you? The kind of person who would have said, go on, keep sinning as much as you want, that person is dead. I'm a Christian. A little Christ. Dying like him, living like him. Who are you? I am baptized into Christ. That's who I am. Your death certificate proves it. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.